political mystery at the heart of Europe, who will govern Spain after an inconclusive election this weekend. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The key index on the Spanish stock market was down more than 2% for much of the day after the far left made inroads in balloting this weekend. No party ended up with enough seats to govern in the fifth largest economy in the European Union. The BBC's Guy Hedgeco joins us from Madrid. Morning to you.
Good morning.
So no party with enough seats to govern, apparently. Any obvious pairings of political parties that would resolve the uncertainty there?
In the lead up to this election and in the immediate aftermath, the most obvious pairing looked like the governing Popular Party, the Conservatives, who are in power at the moment, trying to team up with one of these new parties, Ciudadanos, which is a centrist party. But even if they did team up, they would struggle to get enough seats in order to form a government in Congress anyway. That is a problem. And also Ciudadanos, this party, this new party, has expressed a certain reluctance to supporting Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy due to corruption scandals. There are a number of other options, possibly a left-wing coalition involving the socialists, another new party, Podemos, and they would also need the help of another party. That would be rather unwieldy, but it's all very open at the moment, and we really don't know how this is going to turn out.
I was just looking at the stock market in Madrid. The key index there was down 2%. That must be an expression of some of this uncertainty.
Well, yes, that's right. And I think it's understandable because Spain has never been in this situation before. You go back to Spain's return to democracy after its dictatorship in 1977. Ever since then, whichever party has won the general election, it's always either got a majority or it has come close to a majority and it's been able to govern. So we're kind of in uncharted territory at the moment. Spanish political parties, at least on a national level, are not used to forming these kind of pacts and governing coalitions and governing partnerships. But there is a sense of urgency because the markets are watching. And obviously, it's not good for the country for this kind of political limbo to go on for too long.
The BBC's Guy Hedgeco in Madrid. Guy, thank you.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
From odd politics in Spain to playing the odds in Spain, the world's biggest lottery reaches its crescendo tomorrow. El Gordo, the fat one, is a massive Christmas week lottery drawing in Spain. 2 billion euros, more than $2 billion in prizes. And this, and Marketplace's Amy Scott has a piece on this, and it's not exactly Lotto American style.
75% of Spaniards are said to play the Christmas lottery. School children sing out the winning numbers in a 3-hour live broadcast. This is from last year. Richard McGowan studies lotteries as a professor at Boston College. He says one reason so many play, there are thousands of prizes.
The odds of you winning are actually way, way better than our Powerball game and things like that. And it's kind of a community event.
Wharton professor Mauro Guillen says many people give tickets as Christmas gifts or pool their money with friends and colleagues.
It's not just you as an individual getting rich instantaneously, but it's rather you plus all of your friends, your coworkers, and your family members.
Which, he says, is one reason El Gordo probably wouldn't fly over here. Guillen says only about 12% of Americans typically share lottery tickets with others, compared to more than 30% of Spaniards, a figure that doubles at Christmas time. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is listener-supported. To help keep our coverage relevant and hopefully compelling, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift, in any amount really, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. Nothing in this next piece confirms or denies the existence of Santa Claus. I say that because of the kids in your back seat who might be listening. But can we all agree, though, that some people dress up to play Santa Claus for a seasonal living? And as in any workplace, there are benefits to diversity down at Santa's workshop. Candace Wheeler from WABE in Atlanta reports now on an increased demand for African-American Santas.
Here comes Santa!
That's Dee Sinclair, also known as Santa Dee, at a holiday event last December. This year, he's gearing up for his 14th season as Santa Claus. Sinclair says he's been booked solid for Christmas events so far.
We're in high demand. It's high demand to the point where folks just don't know how to find us.
Sinclair used to work as a mall Santa, but several years ago decided to create his own company, The Real Black Santa.
Because it's my company, it can be very lucrative, yes.
Now, he says he makes up to $60,000 in a holiday season. His business has even vaulted him into another industry, reality television. But for Santas that don't have reality TV deals, there's still a lot of money to be made.
You have some Santas that are going from dusk to dawn, you know, that can make almost an annual salary just in the month of December.
That's Steph Seibert, owner of Atlanta Santas, a company that books Santas for all kinds of gigs, everything from corporate events to intimate holiday parties. She says being Santa can be especially lucrative for African Americans.
The Black community, I mean, a lot of them want somebody that looks like them, looks like their kids.
Seibert says there just simply aren't enough African-American Santas.
A lot of times it boils down to kind of a supply and demand, definitely a high demand and a low supply.
That's something Sinclair is helping to change.
I've hired and trained in the Atlanta area of three other Santas.
He says one African-American Santa he's mentoring right now hopes to book a few gigs this season. Sinclair says he also plans to start his own national casting call for Santas of all ethnicities. In Atlanta, I'm Candace Wheeler for Marketplace.
And the Wall Street Journal is reporting that back in 2013, Iranian computer hackers managed to infiltrate the control network of a little dam just north of New York City. Unnamed U.S. officials said the still classified incident was part of a larger breach of U.S. banks by hackers from Iran. It was a tiny dam in Rye, New York, near the border with Connecticut. A few weeks ago, we did a somewhat hair-raising interview with journalist Ted Koppel about the potential for hackers getting into crucial U.S. infrastructure and causing mayhem. He has a book out about this now, marketplace.org. Search Koppel if you're interested. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.